Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at jwright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can stay up to date with everything happening here at the station by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you. And I keep forgetting to bring this up specifically on Thursdays, mainly because it's the day after Cerrito is here, and right before I know Connor does it. But I keep forgetting to plug. You had Writer Than Right trivia this morning.
We did. And you've got...
I have trivia.
Do we have bingo? We have trivia.
Trivia tonight. Trivia night on Thursdays over at Dan McGinnis in South Haven. You can also find me doing bingo on Tuesdays and Wednesdays in other locations.
So go support George over at Dan McGinnis at South Haven. You can also get the full list of events over at CerritoEntertainment.com. My company, as he is each and every Thursday on the program, he, of course, writes about college football and college basketball for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter on X at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
It's a good day. You know, it'll be an even better day a week from today because, Jeffrey, we will have on, at that time, the U.S. Open.
We'll have the U.S. Open. I don't know if... Is the Senior Open this week?
The Canadian Open is this week.
I know. So I'm watching the Canadian Open right now. I have no idea who is... We've got Sanzi's in the booth, but I have no idea who the analyst is next to him.
That must be some like recently disqualified from the tour, like sort of player, because I know I don't recognize him either.
So
it's probably got to be a Canadian.
I was
right?
Wondering, is it Graham Dillette? Because Dillette does like, he does some radio, but I can safely say I don't know many people that watch more televised golf than I do. And on this one, I am stumped because obviously NBC has the USGA championships. We had the Women's Open last week. By the way, I dipped my toe. While you were driving back from Sweetens, I dipped my toe in the women's golf betting game.
Oh, wow.
Let's just say
that go?
Maya Starks got a fan.
Okay, so it was a success.
It was indeed a success. So I don't know if the Senior Open's this week or whatnot, if there's another USGA. But clearly Golf Channel has sent the, shall we say, not the A-team. Up to Ontario for the Canadian Open.
So the Senior Open is the last week of June. So they're coming off the U.S. Women's Open. U.S. Open is next week, and then they got to do the U.S. Senior Open after that. So So, yeah, it looks like the B team on the broadcast. It's also just hard to recognize golfers when they don't have hats on. Like, if you're not like a top 50 player and I'm seeing you without a hat for the first time, like, you know, I might struggle to recognize you.
If my guess is correct, also, not only golfer without a hat, Graham Dillette was the guy that just always wore Oakley blades. So I have no idea, like, what his face actually looks like.
Right? Yeah.
I keep waiting. So, do you think we're going to see... Now, Oakley's not as heavily involved in golf as they were, like, 10 years ago. But, like, baseball players and David Duvall all wore M-frames. Are we going to see those ski mask M-frames that all the baseball players are wearing? Are those ever going to show up in golf?
Man, I thought they were cool back in the day when David Duvall wore them. And, like, yeah, you're right. You can't turn on these college baseball games right now without seeing these, like, full face.
Yeah.
They look like, yeah, they're goggles, basically, that these baseball players are wearing. That was never my look. I don't know why. Like, the geometry of my face, I felt like just looked stupid in those. But,
so,
you know,
I had to wear, because obviously Pudge Rodriguez was my favorite player as a catcher. Pudge also wore the M-frames, like the Duvall ones. I could never wear the rounded off, the ones that kind of had, like, wings on them. But you could get the M-frames that kind of cut off, like, right at, like, your eyebrows ended. I could wear those fine. But, yeah, no, I mean, the reality is, like, Oakleys look good in your mind at 13. I'm not sure it's, like, ever a look, like, when you go back and you're like, oh, yeah, I was rocking it.
Well, it depends. Like, Oakley does make some nice, like, sunglasses now that look normal, you know what I'm saying? But back in the day, like in the early to mid 2000s, it was sort of like those big baseball sunglasses were in, and that was never my look. But I actually had a pair of Oakleys for about 6 years, that which is like a record length for me in terms of a single pair of sunglasses, until I went out in the Pacific Ocean. And as you know well, Jeffrey, yeah, the waves
current,
hit a little different.
That current is strong.
They hit a little different than they do
in the Gulf
at Destin, yeah. So the Pacific stole that last pair away, yeah.
Yeah, that's and it's also cold. No one. As I told you, my freshman year, like right when we got there, everybody ran into the ocean at midnight, and my only experience with the ocean really was the Gulf. And I was like, all right, what's everybody bracing for? Yeah, that water not only has a strong current, it's ice cold. So, yeah, a little pro tip for those of you that are going in the ocean.
I just thought of something, man. You really went early on your beach trip this year, because you usually go around the time the football preview magazines come out. But, you really jumped the gun. You went way early.
I hope you're sitting down for this, David. Wasn't my call.
Okay. Right.
That was Aaliyah announcing, I need a vacation.
Well.
And that was one where I was like, all right, I'm not fighting this one. No,
good to oblige.
But, like, that's the other problem. So a lot of people either, you know, Memorial Day. What, I feel like the magazines come out Memorial Day, right? Usually.
They used to, but I feel like they're pushing them later and later because of the portal.
Portal, yeah, that would make sense. But we used to, because I played baseball every year, we wouldn't go till like August. But, like, Aaliyah's like, it's too hot. I'm like, there's no such thing as too hot. Like,
that's why you go to the beach.
Exactly. There's
so
less,
there's
less,
water.
And there's less crowds also when it's super hot. But, yeah, we did, went super early this year. All right, let's talk about what we are coming up on the program. Of course, we have the NBA Finals tonight. You can hear Game 1 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I want to go over what Cobb thinks, biggest storylines, questions, however you want to take it. What do you think are the things that interest you the most about tonight? Eric Hastein's going to join us here in about 25 minutes or so. I believe he has announced that he will be going to Game 3 up in Indy, go visiting his friends that are up there. So we'll talk to him about that. Get into the list at 3:05. Cobb, we got a date for the Liberty Bowl.
Hey-o. Yeah,
and
We got the ESPN
Bowl season. So maybe get into a little college football during the list. Jason Smith's going to join us during hour number two. And we'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But, Cobb, I'll let you have 1-1. When you think about the NBA Finals, like, what's the first big topic, however you want to take it? Storyline, question you have, what's the first thing that you think about when you think that the Finals are starting tonight?
I mean, it's Tyrese Halliburton versus SGA, man. I think you got two of the best young guards in the NBA going head-to-head. And all season long, maybe SGA has been literally the MVP, but in these playoffs, man, there's been no better player than Tyrese Halliburton. So you got these two players going head-to-head. Oh, yeah. By the way, you also have the little USA versus Canada deal going on there. Big week for the Canadians. You got the Canadian Open. You got the Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then you got SGA beginning his NBA Finals journey here. So, man, I think it's Tyrese Halliburton versus Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's just such a good guard matchup. And yeah, blah, blah. Like, none of these guys are megastars. Okay, whatever. Well, you know how you become a megastar? You lead your team to an NBA championship. So one of those guys is gonna put all that mess in the rearview mirror this week and will unquestionably be a megastar after leading their team to a NBA Finals championship.
So along those same lines, see if you agree with this. I think right now it's fair to say this. SGA is the better player, but Tyrese Halliburton is the bigger star right now. Which
yeah,
is kind
like we know Tyrese Halliburton. It feels like we don't really know SGA.
Yeah, and so like that was kind of the other thing that I was thinking about because we talked about this yesterday on the show. I'm not saying this is his fault and that this is something he should address because I personally am of the category he should just try to be the best basketball player that he can be and that let the chips fall where they may. Let everybody else do all the talking. But it does feel like we are acknowledging now more than ever, personality does impact the whole star aspect. Like, I don't think, it seems to me like, I made the comp yesterday. It feels to me like the best, unless SGA just is like Mr. Corporate and he's just burying all this personality. Like, I'll use this example. I think Taylor Jenkins actually had a pretty good personality, but I think he suppressed all of it to be the Grizzlies head coach. Like, I think he went super corporate, but like, I imagine Taylor with his high school buddies drinking beer, I would imagine he actually has a pretty good personality. Unless SGA's doing that, and he just decides after I win my title, it's going to be a buffet of my personality. I would be very surprised by any of that because I just think that that's not how he's wired, and that's totally fine. But because I kind of think that that's true, it almost feels like, right, the ceiling for him is Kawhi. Like, whether or not it was right, wrong, Kawhi at one point in time did have a claim to being the best basketball player on the planet. It was very brief, but he had a claim. Like, I still would have drafted LeBron 10 times out of 10 ahead of Kawhi, but like, there was a legitimate claim. SGA kind of feels like in that same category where because of, and like Duncan, I think kind of had the same thing, but we're in this era where I guess because everything is content and we see every game, you can't just kind of have your personality be, I'm great. Or if you do that, it takes time. Like, I guess because the other example I gave is when Scottie Scheffler came onto the scene in golf, most people were like, wet blanket. And Scottie has, I think, slowly but surely shown a little bit personality, but it's not like we're getting like this gregarious personality. But
getting arrested was the best thing to ever happen.
Yes, totally agree.
Scottie
like
Scheffler.
That, the free Scottie thing made a lot of people be like, "Go Scottie, go."
Okay, well, here's the thing. I mean, it's what? How do you define a megastar? I would say that in my mind, SGA is already there. He's the MVP of the NBA. He's led his team to one of the greatest regular seasons in league history and to the NBA Finals. He's already a megastar in my mind, but if we as a collective basketball universe define megastar as your marketability, your number of Instagram followers, the number of endorsement deals that you have, the amount of ratings that you draw, if that's the definition of it, then okay. I guess he's still got a bar to clear. And in that sense, Tyrese Halliburton is ahead of him. You know why? Because like, we've seen his personality. Like, we know who his dad is, and I think in some respects that almost made Tyrese Halliburton a more engaging figure for the casual NBA fan than a lot of players. Because all right, like we've seen his pops now, like we've seen him navigate a tricky parental situation, right? And like that humanizes him to us a little bit. And plus, I mean, he was on that U.S. Olympic team too, and obviously SGA is representing Canada. But even though Tyrese Halliburton didn't play in that Olympics. Like, you know, he's represented the USA on that stage. And so, yeah, I mean, in terms of visibility, marketability, like whatever, Tyrese Halliburton is absolutely ahead of SGA, even though SGA is clearly a better player.
Yeah, George also made this point. I think whether or not it's been subconscious or conscious, Tyrese also deserves a little bit of credit because when everybody's out there calling him corny and whatnot, he's kind of leaning into it. He never really like honestly, contrast it with Ja. Like, clearly when Ja online was getting called corny or everyone's pointing out like the, you know, look at him in this polo in the school picture, like Ja flipped that switch. And then that's like when we kind of got the weird gangster Ja, which was always a weird time and place. Mm-hmm. But Halliburton has like leaned into it and he's basically just kind of said, hey man, this is who I am. And so I think maybe there's been some respect, but I think this is the larger question though that I have is, will it flip if, like, let's say the Thunder win in five. Like, basically, they've won every series outside of the one that Jokic was in. Does it flip, and do we do the thing that we largely do in the NBA? Like, last year, after Ant beats Jokic and the Nuggets, Michael Jordan 2.0. Then the Wolves get beaten in five by the Mavericks, and everybody's like, what happened to Anthony Edwards? Like, do we do that move with Halliburton? Like, will he be forgotten about? Or does it become, now that SGA has a title at his age, and you can, listen, whether or not it's, like, true, he's going to have a claim to one of the greatest seasons in the history of the NBA. There are two other people on the planet that have played NBA basketball that will have won the MVP, won the scoring title, and then presumably, like, he's as big of a favorite to win the finals MVP as he is to win, as the Thunder are to win the finals. So if he wins finals MVP, that puts him in a category of Jordan and Shaq. And I think that's kind of the other question, though, that I have is this me getting older? Is this me living in the space? He is chasing a historical moment and a historic ground. But it just doesn't feel like that to me. And like, I can't tell if that's a me problem or if it's something about his game, if it's something about the Thunder. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm open to some type of examination, but I do know what I'm feeling. And it's like, I intellectually know what he's chasing and what he's accomplished. It still doesn't feel like that.
Well, he's just getting started. I think that's the part of the SGA journey. Like, okay, this is not a blockbuster NBA Finals, most people are saying. It's because, well, how are we going to look back on it in 10 years if Tyrese Halliburton goes on to have an incredible, you know, 10, 12-time all-star career and SGA wins 3 to 5 MVPs? Maybe this doesn't look like a blockbuster NBA Finals in the moment, but it might look like it a decade from now when we reflect back if SGA continues on the Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal trajectory, which are the two players you mentioned he's about to join if he's able to win the NBA Finals. So that's his journey is just getting started. This is like Scottie Scheffler's first Masters, if you want to use that example like you did a minute ago. So that's, to me, where we're at on this. It's like every dynasty starts somewhere. Pat Mahomes had to win the first Super Bowl before he could win the subsequent Super Bowl. Steph Curry had to start. I mean, we're just seeing the beginning of SGA's odyssey here, man. This is a guy who's been in his early to mid-20s to this point. He was part of a rebuilding franchise the last, you know, however many years now. They finally got it going in the right direction last season, and now they're about to finally make their breakthrough. And there could be 3-4 more titles before this thing breaks up. I know you realize that, like, they're going to have a hard time keeping all the depth pieces together because of the CBA and all that, and I get all that. But, like, there's going to be a chance for SGA to stack titles. And so, a decade from now,
I think it's fair to say this.
And at that point, you know, this is the point when it started.
With the questions that Boston's going to have about their roster and their financial situation, SGA is in the best position of anyone to stack a bunch of titles together in this era. Like, even though I said I'm not convinced that it's what's going to happen, I do acknowledge that if you're betting on one team, that it should be them. But using, like, some of those examples, I guess this is, and maybe this is the answer to the question, maybe it is a me problem and style of play. But, like, when you when you use the examples that you did, like Steph and even Steph in 2015, you felt like you were watching something different. And yes, it was, it's the, not only is it like exciting, but like you felt like, oh, this could be a change of the guard. And it kind of was, because now everyone largely plays the same style of basketball that they played. With Mahomes, like even before he wins the first one, there's more times that you're watching him and you're like, this guy's incredible. Even like the same thing with Jokic's first title. It's like you felt like you were watching something different. Giannis, LeBron, all of these guys. So maybe the answer is it's something about his game to me that doesn't quite feel special. Like, he's clearly...
Oh, just call him what you want to call him. Call him a free throw merchant.
But it's not even just that. It's like, I don't know, like, I think back to the Grizzlies series, and there's no question which team moved on. But there were moments that I'm watching it, and I feel like Ja's still the best player on this floor.
Well, he's the more exciting player, but is he the best player?
I don't know, and that's why I'm saying maybe this is a me problem. I am open to the idea. I think it's more than just the free throw merchant thing, because honestly, contrast him with Brunson, who I think is even worse in baiting on free throws. I feel like when you watch Brunson, you're like, you kind of get swept up in it. So maybe the reality is it's like his game is maybe it's more along the lines of like he's Joe Montana, where it's like it's not flashy, but like you look up and he's made everyone around him better. Like he's just moving the chains. It's kind of the difference of like where draft Twitter doesn't think Joe Burrow's any good. But like when you watch Joe Burrow play, but like, I don't know, it's there's just something there where it's like, I acknowledge he's clearly a great player, but it's like, I don't feel like if you would have flipped Jokic onto the Thunder and you would have flipped SGA onto Denver, I do not think Denver was going to seven games in that series.
So he's just different, because for with Steph Curry, you've got the ridiculous high volume, difficult long range three pointers. With LeBron James, you have the voracious dunks, the chase down blocks, the highlight reel plays. With SGA, it's more of a steady, low key consistency. But also, like, let's wait and see what we think after Mike Breen calls some of these plays in the NBA Finals with everything on the line, right? Like, the stage can alter the perception a little bit, I think, here, because of what's at stake and the magnitude of it all. You know, that has a way of sort of making you view players in a different light, because you mentioned it, man. Kawhi Leonard, nobody would have mentioned him in the same breath as a you know, as the one of the greatest players in the league at that time until he won a Finals MVP. He wins a Finals MVP, then all of a sudden you start to look at him a little differently, and that could be exactly what transpires with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander here.
And I'm glad you brought up the broadcast crew, because this was one of my questions I had. Is it going to be open season on this broadcast crew? Because with the report from Andrew Marchand about this, it might be a one and done for this crew. Have you ever seen the How I Met Your Mother, the glass shattering episode where someone tells
them all? Yeah, I've seen them all.
The glass shattering. I almost wonder, like, I know that they've not exactly been super popular online, but I almost wonder with that story if it just becomes like open season, because there's nothing we love in America more than just attacking someone when they're down. Like, I just wonder if I wonder if one of the underrated storylines of this entire playoffs is going to be the broadcast crew.
Maybe for you it will be. I don't know. It's going to be Doris Burke and Richard Jefferson, isn't it?
Yes.
With Breen, yeah. I mean, do people not like them?
Oh, they have been, online they have not gotten good returns.
I mean, I thought people generally liked Doris Burke.
So, no, here's the Doris Burke problem. Everyone liked sideline Doris Burke, and then everyone had to go along with Doris should be calling games. And she's perfectly adequate at doing the job. But the problem right now is you have a three-man booth, and it's like none of them are listening to anyone. Like, there was one play. Remember the end of the Thunder T-Wolves game where the ball went out of bounds at the end of the clock. Like, it, everyone's... Yeah. So, Richard, like... Or I think Doris asked, like, does it matter that the fan caught it? Because I think Doris knew, hey, the rule is the clock doesn't stop until the ball hits something out of bounds.
Right.
And so, the fan catching it, she's like, does that matter? And then Richard was, like, going off on, like, another point that was of nothing of the discussion. And the truth is, Doris had the better question because, like, to me, there's a big difference between it's Minnesota's ball with 0.1 second versus Minnesota's ball with 0.9 of a second. There seems to be this just water and oil, and then Breen, it feels like maybe Breen doesn't have the world's highest trust in them, and so it feels like he's just like saying, give me the ball a lot.
All right, well, then what they need to do is put Mike Malone on the... Like, I'm being dead serious. Like, I think Michael Malone would be great.
My thing is, I actually think the problem is less the personalities and more... I just think three-man booths are just a waste of time. I don't think they work really in any sport.
You don't think that, I'm trying to think, man, like the Final Four, you got like Bill Raftery and Grant Hill.
It always feels to me. Now, I'm more okay with that one because they play off of each other, but it still feels to me like there's just, in basketball, there's just too much going on.
Well, especially in the NBA where you got the 24-second shot clock. Yeah.
But like in football, I don't think it really works. In basketball, I don't think it really works. Like in baseball, it always just kind of feels unnecessary, but I guess because there's enough downtime in baseball, you can get away with it easier. But I think the bigger issue is a three-person booth than I do any of the actual characters involved.
That's fair enough. I just wasn't aware that as an NBA ecosystem, we were that upset about.
Oh, yeah, that's been pretty
obvious. I mean, to me, it's like, as long as you got Breen, like, it's going to be okay, but... Maybe not.
So Doris has been leaning into the free throw merchant storyline. She's also thrown out some historical references that are like not necessarily wrong, but at the same time, you're like, that was Stretch Armstrong there. But I don't know. Like, I just always think like when you have a story like that come out at this time, I almost just feel like it is open season. And so I'm wondering if that
ESPN's
becomes...
ESPN's coverage in general, it's been open season on him. And obviously with Inside the NBA making the move next year, I mean, it's just, it's kind of been pathetic, honestly, like the quality. Now, I'm not talking about the written side at all, although that has suffered since Woj's departure. But man, it's almost like maybe they should have let Hubie Brown hang around for a few more months. You know what I'm saying?
Now, it's also fair to point this out. I actually think this is the biggest problem that I have with ESPN as it pertains to the game coverage. I think that they are way too in business with the NBA. And I don't think it's coincidence that Doris's name is out there on the perhaps the reevaluation block, as she has gotten way more opinionated and presenting things that I think the NBA would rather not. So... The NBA, to me, they're very comfortable allowing the talk shows, the ecosystem talking about the product. But when the game is on, I think they want it presented in exactly how they want it, which is largely cheerleading. I think this is what got Van Gundy got. And I think now with Doris, as she's gotten out there and gotten more opinionated, she's really hammered the free throw merchant thing. She's been critical at times. I don't think that's coincidence.
And elaborate. So
she's not doing what the NBA wants, which is basically just an entire broadcast of just promoting the NBA.
Okay. Well, I got you then. Well, at the end of the day, like, there's all this criticism out there about, wow, this Oklahoma City and Indiana, the ratings are going to be garbage for this, but the NBA has already signed its next TV rights deal that begins next season. So
Here's all that really
matters. Like, here's it doesn't matter if anyone watches this finals or not, because they're set, and it's going up in value with this new agreement that's going to include NBC and Amazon Prime. And so, like, there's nothing like the quote unquote poor ratings that are probably going to come from this finals are not going to negatively impact the NBA's business really in any tangible form. Now, they might negatively impact ESPN's business, you know, but not,
I don't
they're
think
not going
so.
To negatively impact the NBA.
I'm nearly certain usually when you get to the finals, all the ad inventory is pre-sold. The only thing that could actually impact them is if it's a short series. Because you don't get the three extra games or whatever you would get. Where it affects the NBA's bottom line, and this is such a minuscule part of it that I just kind of dismiss it, the NBA does split the ticket revenue with the teams. And so by it being Oklahoma City and being Indianapolis, I should say, like that's not going to be the same ticket price as LA or New York. But that's such like a negligible thing to me. Like I don't really put a ton of stock into that.
Well, we'll see what Eric's get-in number is, you know?
I think Eric might be calling in some favors. Let's find out what Eric's get-in price is. We'll talk with him next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
That music means that we welcome to the program the one and only Eric Hastein. He, of course, the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. Eric, I want to get into the three-man booth with you because I don't know if I've ever talked to you about it, but you'll obviously have much deeper thoughts than I will. But we have to get to the question that Cobb posed at the end of the last segment. What is the Eric Hastein get-in price of Game 3 of the NBA Finals?
Dude, I'm working on it right now.
Are we calling in every favor? Or are we
so
just...
here's the problem with that. So I have who I would consider friends, not just guys you see at a game against the two teams and go, hey, good to see you. How's the family? You know, acquaintance guys. I have guys like I consider I'm friendly with. And the last thing I want to do is put more on their plate. I informed two of them from Oklahoma City. I said, hey, I'm trying to get out to game three. Hopefully if I do, I can catch you guys post game. Kind of like hint, hint.
Hey, what do you know?
You need to buy some of the holds type thing. So I know how most teams do it is teams are allotted a certain amount of tickets per game in the regular season, playoffs, whatever. For the finals, it's different because, I mean, one, the tickets are harder to get. Two, like the allotment, every player is going to bring every family member and they're going to buy more. They're going to buy them up. So I think that's a tough avenue. There are some national media people covering the game. They tend to hold some back for those people. So that avenue is being explored. That one I said, they can only say no. So I don't know what those face value are. When I looked online, when Indiana won and I looked online, it was looking like they're kind of like our arena. In fact, they were, it was designed after it. It was modeled after Rocket Mortgage Arena and Gain or whatever it's
Gain
called
Bridge,
now.
Whatever the artist. I always call it the artist formerly known as Conseco.
Conseco, yes, the artist formerly known as Conseco, and then there was some hints of Denver in there, but it was mainly Cleveland and Indy. So, like our arena, there's like a second tier, which are great seats. And I think in those, the price we saw was like $1,600 to $1,700. Now, when it comes down to brass tacks and you really can't go and it's right before tip off and no one's bought your $1,700 ticket, are you willing to say, I'd rather get, you know, $1,000 or $800 than eat the money altogether? That's up to them. Also, my friend in Indianapolis knows some people in the business world, so he's reaching out to his contacts. So we're in the process of the negotiations, but I don't have the heart to be that guy where, you know, look, my friends know if I have them and you call and I can get you a pair or like I have my two, I'm like, yeah, you can have them. If I don't, I'm like, hey, I don't have them. I'm sorry. And we don't have any comps, but I can get them for you face value. Playoffs become a different, you know, thing, but I can always find some, it seems like, to purchase, not like free. And that's the problem. A lot of times people just think they're free. Like people don't realize, like, I don't pay market price for my tickets, but I partially pay for my tickets. So when it's in my contract and I'm paying for partial, I'm like, I'm literally paying for my friends to go to games that I can't even go to with them. This seems to make no sense, but I like taking care of people who take care of me and my family, especially, you know, having a young athlete that or wannabe athlete, I should say, that you know, does a lot of stuff around town, and people have been very kind to us and other business people. So I try to do that. So I'm working on that. I do have golf lined up, though. It's going to be a fun foursome with Mark Kestisher and one of his ESPN guys and me and a buddy of mine who used to call Cal State Fullerton baseball at his club up in Indianapolis, which is it is nice. Very, very nice.
Well, I was going to ask you, how close, and I guess we don't really do it much in basketball, but how close are you to reaching out to every person on the broadcast team and saying, do you need a spotter?
Nah, because I want to go with my buddy. Like, so I met this gentleman when he was just getting started in like trying to make it in the broadcast world. He had done some stuff, and we used to have a thing called Sportscaster Camps of America that would be held in Long Beach. So Jeffrey, you know Long Beach.
Oh yeah. What's the QE2? I've had some formals out there.
Yeah. The QE2 is out there. Hundreds. I've been on that for a formal myself from UC Riverside.
Oh, yeah.
So, but you don't want to go in certain areas of Long Beach either. But we would do when they still had the LA Summer League, when I went in 96 as a camper, quote unquote, and mind you, this was a camp all ages. We had guys that were 55 years old whose wives gave them this for Christmas as a great gift to, hey, you always watch sports, go see if you can be have fun being an announcer for a week. You would call the Summer League, and we had Portsmouth, we had Orlando, we had Rocky Mountain Review, and we had LA. Well, then they got the wise idea. I was like, why don't we go to Vegas? There's two arenas and we could do this. And it was so funny. The guy that ran LA, and I met him and I got to know him, and he was a nice guy. He was like, oh, that Vegas one's going to fail. Nobody's happy out there right now. And I'm like, hearing the exact opposite.
Give it time.
One of the last years I worked at, the year before, we were there with the Grizzlies. The Lakers were there because they were loyal to this guy. I forgot the two other teams. The next year, there was not a pro team there. There was not an NBA team there. There were teams from Poland, like the Poland national team, 21 and under, and a lot of guys trying to get seen that didn't make NBA summer league rosters. Needless to say, there are about eight people in the, they have a pyramid too, in the pyramid in Long Beach. But the guys that were there calling the games got the experience. But I met this guy there, and so I didn't want to do that because we've been friends for a very long time. He got away from broadcasting. He's had a very successful run. If you're ever in Zionsville, he just bought a Tex-Mex place. That's a blast. So, like, Zionsville is a suburb of Indianapolis. It's actually where, right by where Talking Stick is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or what is it? Yeah. So
no, Talking Stick is Arizona, but it's Crooked Stick.
Crooked Stick.
That's where Daly won the PGA.
Yeah, that is. That's exactly right. That's what he told me. And it's also where Taylor Swift commandeered the Lucas family of Lucas Oil fame, Lucas Oil Stadium fame, for their resort that they call their house, commandeered that for her tour stop and all of her people. And then also where, why am I blanking on the owner's name? The Ursay compound's right there too. So very nice area of town. Let's put it that way.
So Eric, what do you even do at an NBA game as a spectator? I mean, do you just drink a couple beers like a average Joe, or are you sitting there like assessing like how you would be calling the action?
Well, so game three in Indy, because I just went, I ran into Brian Cardinal and Tony Barone Jr., not name dropping, but I hear my name called two rows behind me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen Tony since Tony Sr. and Pam, his mom, passed. So I wanted to pay my respects, and Tony and I were very good friends in the when we worked together. And Brian's like, hey, I'm Brian. It's Brian Cardinal. And I'm like, dude, like, I had a hard time understanding who you were. You just have less hair now. Like, stop. I know exactly who you are. And it was good to see BC, too. But that night, there may have been more than a couple of beers consumed because we were catching up. Game four, yeah, a couple just cheer for good basketball. I try not to cheer for another team as best I can. I want to see good plays. But, you know, look, I'm human. I have guys I enjoy watching play and other guys that I'm like, oh, I'd like to see him not make it past this round type guys. It turns out one of those guys has been since eliminated, and that's great. And I have no problem saying I do not enjoy watching Karl Anthony Towns play basketball. It's just me. I think he complains. I think he's super talented. I can admit to that. I just don't enjoy watching him play. It's just I don't know what he does that rubs me the wrong way, but I'm like, God, this guy, it just drives me nuts. And there's other guys that
I have a theory.
Like. What's that?
All right, neither of us are what would be considered tall.
Yeah.
I think nothing aggravates us more than seeing a physical specimen like that hang out at the three-point line.
I'm okay with it now. I used to think that about Rasheed Wallace. I grew to respect Rasheed's game overall. I think Rasheed was super talented and maybe left some meat on the bone playing closer to the basket, but he probably prolonged his career by not doing that.
So I think that's more than fair.
And so, but super talented. My problem is not his game. My problem is the exasperated looks like every play that don't go his way. And that you can say that about a lot.
I would say, isn't that the NBA now?
That's a lot of them, but like he seems to be more so than others to me. Again, don't ask me why. Why do people like?
No, I admit he's not my favorite either. I'm with you.
Yeah, like why do people? Why do some people like filet mignon and others think that it's totally overrated? Why do some people love salmon and others think it's awful? I can't tell. But I like to watch guys. You know, I like watching Donovan Mitchell play. I like watching Evan Mobley play. I wasn't a huge fan of Jared Allen. Now I am. I just kind of thought he was clunky before. I think he's really developed a lot of skills around the basket. But in that game, I was also pulling for the home team because I think the TJ McConnell story, as annoying as he may be to play against, is one of the best we've ever seen. This dude was an afterthought coming out of Arizona, doesn't get drafted, only gets a chance because the Philadelphia 76ers were like holding open tryouts, basically. They didn't care. They were in the rebuild. They wanted to keep the payroll as low as possible, filled with guys that they didn't want to turn a corner and have to pay and then have their fans be upset. We are going to rebuild this, and we're going to do it with these multiple draft picks we have coming up. So we're going to eat you know, this year as a you know, turd sandwich, basically. And we're sorry, but we're not going to raise ticket prices. And these guys, we're going to get guys that just play hard. In the end, they're probably going to lose more than they win because they're not as talented. And TJ McConnell's made a career out of that. That one opportunity, I think that's great. I love watching. I like watching Neesmith. I love watching Halliburton facilitate. I don't like a shot because I think it tells kids, oh, we can shoot it from here from 30 feet and it'll go. And it's not the case. It's a strange thing. But I do enjoy watching it, David, to answer your question. And I enjoy the game. Like, I enjoy watching the game from a different perspective. I enjoy watching the game and how other teams, you know, handle different situations. It's easy to watch, you know, 82 plus preseason and plus playoffs of the same team, and you kind of get in that rut and you're kind of going, oh, here we go again. I like seeing how teams dig themselves out of tough situations. And obviously in that second round series, the Cavaliers just absolutely pounded the Pacers. I enjoyed being around their fans and hearing their reactions. They weren't over the top. They were like, wow, that didn't go the way we hoped. And they were kind of still positive. Hey, we're still up 2-1, yada, yada, yada. After game four, it was obviously a very different feeling. It was, you know, all hands on deck for the party. So it's fun. It's fun for me to do that. I get to take my son to see Houston and Golden State in round two as well. It was fun for me to take him just to an NBA game and watch guys there too.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about—he's
not going to this one, by the way. I love him, but like, dude, you gotta get a job before you get $100 ticket.
Yeah, that price point. We're about to learn the lesson of hard work.
Yeah, right.
I was thinking about this. So I know Mike Breen's a friend of yours, so I'm not asking you to criticize the broadcast group, but I have always contended. I think no matter what you're calling, when you have a three-person booth, it's very crowded. And I think that they're actually, the ESPN crew's been put into a bad situation because anytime a story like this comes out before, I think it just becomes open season on the broadcast crew and they get criticized and scrutinized in a way that probably is actually going to be unfair. But do you agree with me? The three-person booth in basketball just feels incredibly difficult.
It's tough because the game's fast. I think it can work in baseball and it can work in football. In football, it can work when teams aren't going as up-tempo.
Yeah, it's not college football.
Yeah, like up-tempo, it's really hard. So, like, you notice, let's take football, for example. You notice when they've gone away from three-person booths a lot in football, but let's just say that when they have one, when it goes up-tempo, like the color guys are one guy's jumping in, then maybe the next guy. They're not telling stories. Baseball, it's pitch by pitch. You're watching. We all know it's a it's a game that you can tell stories at during the game, but you got to be ready to stop the story when someone barrels up a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and it's going to the moon. And you also know who's hitting. Like if Judge or Otani are up, you're kind of holding that
maybe
story
don't start
a little
that
bit.
Story then, yeah.
You know? Yeah, like, but then for Boston Red Sox fans, and this name will fall deaf on a lot of people's ears, but Sadon Rafaela hits a goat walk-off, and I'm listening to the broadcast, and no one in the booth thinks this guy's walking it off with a bomb right here, and as they're telling the story, he curls one around Pesky's pole, and 309 feet later, the Red Sox win.
Yeah, what was so the story? It's like, it's the shortest game-winning home run, like, in the stat era?
Yeah, like in the stat era, 100% from tracking balls. Like it barely got out. And like even the broadcast was like, did that get out? Which was great. The call itself was, I think there, and I want to say it's Dave Fleming who does a lot of national stuff, who also works for the Giants. It's his younger brother. He said, say Don, say goodnight. And I was like, that was good. That was really good. So I enjoy hearing that stuff. But you can tell stories. In a three-man basketball booth, I don't know how they do it. Like, and I love Mike to death. He is as humble as he is talented. And since he's at the top of our business, you can imagine what type of guy he is. He's never going to say anything. And also super humble, Doris Burke. So I'm sure she's there. I think they just want, you know, they rather than get in this rut, because when you've been having multiple top tier partners, whether it was Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, whether it was J.J. Redick there for a minute, all these people are leaving to go back to coaching or they're going here or they're going there, or they say something and something, you know, catches a social media firestorm and now everybody hates them, whatever. That's the world we live in. You've got to be ready to replace guys. And when you say replace, like, you've got to be ready to replace one. So if you have someone that's already in there, take Richard Jefferson stepping in for J.J. Redick. I'm fine with Richard Jefferson. I think he brings some interesting viewpoints. I'm not a huge fan of ESPN's show. I think Malika Andrews is a wonderful person. I think she's a very, very talented reporter. I think that show with Sinead Ogumike and Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. Smith and whoever you flip in there, and there's four people in there, it just gets them talking over each other. And I'm like,
well, and then, you know, and then in the finals, like, they'll add players. And it's like you're adding even more of a crowd.
Right. And you're adding people that don't understand transitions in broadcast, which is fine. People want to see these guys. I get it. The people making these decisions aren't there because they went to a job fair and said, yeah, I want to be the producer of ESPN's NBA show. I'm good. They have a ton of experience. They know what they're doing. Do all their moves work? No, it's just like being a GM of a sports team. So we're all going to have our opinions on who we like and who we don't. I mean, there are people that love, I'll just use them, probably the most polarizing guy in that group is Stephen A. Smith. There are people that love him, and there are people that would rather listen to, you know, a train hitting the brakes as hard as it can and screeching to a halt for a mile. And we all know what that sounds like. It's brutal. But
I was going to say, you just explained the back of my house.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly where you're at. I wasn't far off, remember. So I get it. And you're like, there's just different strokes for different folks. And the ratings are what tell the story. And, you know, go to the Howard Stern effect that we've always heard. There are this many people that love Howard Stern. More people hate him and they listen even longer to see what he's going to say next. People that love him listen this long to see what he's going to say next. That's the facts. People love a good, you know, a good car wreck type thing is the way the industry terms it, not to make light of car wrecks because they're bad. But, you know, the old adage, if it bleeds, it leads. If it's controversial, it's going to get eyes. That's what gets it. The happy stories are like, just push that to the side. Nobody cares. We want to hear about XYZ and these hot controversies or topics or, you know, things that don't occur in our world. And then someone says something. And the guys that I don't have a lot of respect for in our industry are the guys that will change their opinion trying to get more people to view it. Like, I get that. I don't want to name the guys I think that do it because that's not fair.
Golly. Excuse me.
But there's another that's pretty big that I've always felt that way. But that's how they want to do it. That's fine. And they've made a lot of money off it. I just believe, like, if I say something, or when I was in your seat right there, Jeffrey, years ago, if I said something, I believed it. If you came up to me and asked me, do you believe this? Yes. Well, you're an idiot. Okay. Tell me why I'm an idiot. I may actually be an idiot. I don't
disagree
with
that. I probably am. Yeah,
I probably am. But tell me why you think I'm an idiot. I would have those conversations regularly with people. How can you believe this? Well, this is my vantage point. Yeah, yeah. Tell me why I'm wrong. Like, calmly, don't yell at me. Don't call me four letter names, and just tell me why you disagree with me. And let me see if I can see your side of the fence. I'm not saying I'm going to change my opinion, but I can respect a different viewpoint. And that's, I get that. I just think sometimes these guys, and just the they make up controversy sometimes, and they have to get views. But, like, I don't care who the greatest clutch player in people's eyes are in this generation. Great. I can watch it and figure that out for myself. I don't care if you think Tyrese Halliburton's overrated because 17% of the people that voted in the players poll voted him. Maybe they just thought, hey, I can't think of anybody else, but this guy gets all this hype, and when I played him, I got the better of him. I'm just going to put Tyrese Halliburton. Now all of a sudden, he's the most overhyped player in the history of the league. It's insane to me. It just catches that wind. So when you have those three-person boos, I think you have a guy in the middle who can kind of curtail that. And you ever – I mean, like, I know people love our team. If you ever hear Mike and Clyde Frazier together, it's fantastic, I think. Because Clyde is – he's a Hall of Famer. He's Clyde Frazier. He's like the epitome of cool back in the 70s and still there. And just, again, super nice dude who you just walk up to, and when he sees you, he's like, hey, man, how's Memphis? And you just think you're talking to your buddy Clyde, and you're like, hold on, dude, your jersey's up in the rafters next to the championship you won. That's kind of cool that you remember who I am. That's who he is. And their conversations are like that. And then you have others that you're like, you try to say hello to them. They're like, oh, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm glad you work in whatever city you work in.
Don't let the door hit you in the ass. Yeah.
You get to know them. So, you know, I get people's frustration with it at times. But, again, you have some calming voices. And, look, the fact of the matter is a lot of people – have come around on the female broadcasters being part of the NBA. Several teams have it. National has color analysts that do it, and there's been female play-by-play on the NBA, and that's part of it. Back in the day, Doris Burke was kind of an anomaly. Yep. Now she's kind of the trendsetter, and I think that says a lot. I do think she knows the game. Some people would disagree. I've had off-air conversations with her. She does understand. She played the game. It's a different game, you know, at times, but the principles of the game are the same. It's not played above the rim. But when she played, the NBA wasn't necessarily played above the rim like it is today. So I think it's going to be fun. I think they're going to do a great job, as they always do. I'm really interested to see the transition of the TNT guys. I still haven't seen Ernie's farewell, which I'm you know, kicking myself for. But every time I sit down to listen to it, I watched it, but I couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
So that was...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.